Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2009 Do It With Drupal Seminar. This year's event takes place December 9th, 10th, and 11th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers, and hear from experts in emerging technologies and the social web. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
My name's Bevan Rudge. I'm from New Zealand. I work at Civic Actions. I'm a Drupal developer and engineer at Civic Actions. And we work on a bunch of projects for nonprofits, progressive organizations. Recently, I've been working for Conservation Strategy Fund, which is an environmental economics nonprofit, and also on a project that implements a wellness program for employees of the target retail stores in the U.S.
So what type of things specifically are you doing with these websites, and what kind of specific Drupal work have you been working on?
So the target wellness program has been quite challenging technically and interesting. We've worked on integrating a lot of exchange of data between the website that actually runs the program and the kind of intermediate website that we've been building. So we've been doing a lot with web services and WSF PHP and getting that integrated. We've had to customize the Drupal registration process to allow for some significant registration and enrollment requirements for the users. Yeah, and other than that, all the regular Drupal stuff, use CCK, theming, configuration, checking out modules, trying them out, getting them upgraded or fixed. I worked quite a bit on the invite module a while ago and fixed the number of bugs there. And I've also been working very heavily on the Salesforce module, which is a couple of our clients are using to get data from their Drupal website into Salesforce.
And one thing that I've always found interesting about Civic Actions is like just how many people you have and as far as how all spread out around the world you have. Can you talk a little about the structure at Civic Actions, how many people and where they sort of located all over the place?
Sure. So I think I'm a little bit out of date with regards to the details there, but I think there's almost 40 people on the team. We have one person in Australia. I've been in New Zealand until recently, but I'm in Europe for a month and then Thailand. We've got one person in India, a bunch of people in San Francisco and other places in the US and Canada. Japan now. Nathaniel Catchpole has just moved there, so we've got someone in Asia already. Slovakia, France, Spain, England until Nathaniel moved, but we're still covering the Isles because Stella Power is in Ireland. And, I'm sure I'm missing some countries, but yeah, so we're pretty widely spread.
And it seems like you guys work on a lot of internationalization, a lot of other sort of international nonprofit work as well. Maybe you could just talk about some of those types of clients that you've been working with. I know some big ones like Amnesty International. I'm just curious of like other ones as well.
Sure. So the biggest thing we've done with internationalization recently would be partnering with Sony to work on, and also with Lalabot and the other Drupal shops and Drupal developers that work with the Sony group. Sony contracted Civic Actions to work on basically making sure that all of the modules that they were using were ready for Drupal 6 and fully internationalization enabled, basically, so that they could deploy their platform of websites onto Drupal 6. I wasn't involved with that myself, but a number of people at Civic Actions were. Stella, Nathaniel Catchpole, Nijo Rogers, and I think a few more, I forget exactly. So that was quite a lot of effort and a very successful project, and it was great to be working with the folk at Sony and Lalabot on that. A number of our clients also need multilingual websites, so we end up deploying a lot of internationalized sites. Amnesty's probably the most notable of those, which is translated into Arabic. Actually, I don't know all the language. I think there's about five or so languages that it's translated into. Arabic is obviously the most challenging because it's right to left, so the whole page kind of gets mirrored. The logo goes to the right-hand side, and the sidebars get swapped and everything.
And so here at DrupalCon, you're talking about how to contribute to Drupal. So maybe you could just talk about what are you going to be sort of communicating to here at to the people at DrupalCon.
Sure. So I actually gave that session yesterday. And basically we tried to cover, I guess, Drupal community contributions 101 sort of thing. So what are all the different avenues that people can contribute to? So we talked about things like graphics and icons and making t-shirts and stickers, organizing meetups, attending or running a stand at a conference, or talking about Drupal at non-Drupal conferences, as well as covering code contributions, a little bit of Drupal issue queue etiquette, how to roll a patch, how to review a patch, and a bit about how to get a CVS account and upload your own project or module. And
It seems like with Drupal, one of the key aspects of the project is just the community and sort of growing that community. Maybe you could talk about your own experience in terms of where you live, but also sort of the global Drupal community and being involved with that and helping it grow.
Yeah, so I'm fairly involved with the New Zealand Drupal community. We had our first nationwide Drupal camp last year, almost a year ago now. That was called Drupal South, and that was a great success. It was a little bit more commercial than most Drupal camps. We had a registration fee for it and that, so it wasn't quite bar camp style. But we had a good turnout. We almost sold out, and we had a bit of money left over, which we gave back to the Drupal Association, and covered all our costs, of course. We've been talking about having another Drupal South or similar event in New Zealand, but we're waiting for someone to kind of step up to the plate to head up the organization of that. I'm out of the country for 4 months, so it's kind of difficult for me to do that, and it's also very demanding on the organizer's time. So I'm hoping other people also step up and share some of that burden.
Are there other like Drupal shops in New Zealand, or what's the sort of the scene there in terms of the growth and the sort of where the community is at?
Drupal is really taking off in New Zealand. The kind of community isn't quite keeping up with the number of Drupal websites and Drupal developers and shops there are, which is a little bit of a shame, I think. But there's a large Drupal shop in Christchurch, and all they do is Linux services in Drupal. There's a large open source shop in Wellington, which has got 100-something staff, I think maybe 200. Josh Wyhee works at that company. It's called Catalyst IT, and he's here at DrupalCon. And they provide a lot of open source services, but one of them is Drupal, and they're doing a lot of exciting things with Drupal there. There's a lot of smaller Drupal shops in Auckland, one-man band freelancers and a few kind of small companies there as well.
Cool. So what's next for you? You say you're doing a little bit of traveling. I'm just curious what type of stuff you're going to be working on for the next 4 months.
I'm continuing to work on civic actions projects. We're a virtual company, so where we are is not so important. And one of the great advantages of being a virtual company is that we can travel and work and not necessarily be tied to a city. So I'm taking advantage of that over the next 4 months and kind of taking a working holiday in Thailand for a few months after Europe. But I think the plan at the moment is to continue working with Conservation Strategy Fund and the Target Wellness Program website over that time. Probably a slightly reduced amount of hours, though.
And finally, just it's kind of curious, just Civic Actions has people in so many different time zones. I'm just curious in terms of like collaborating with each other, if you find it to be helpful or not helpful to have people on like sort of working around the clock almost.
Sometimes it's helpful. There's disadvantages too, which are probably more obvious. A lot of the times clients kind of like it where they log a bug report at night and they wake up and it's fixed sort of thing, because someone on the team is in a different time zone. Probably one of the things we struggle with most often is finding a time that everyone can meet, especially for regular, like daily or weekly calls for a project. It's not uncommon to have someone in Europe, someone on the East Coast, West Coast, and someone in Asia or New Zealand or Australia, which makes it almost impossible to find a time. At least one person's going to have to be on a call at like midnight or 1 a.m. or something, or perhaps get up really early. But, you know, we take that in consideration when we're setting up project teams, and we try to avoid project teams that are that wide. So try to keep each project team roughly localized, at least not across too many time zones. But also some people prefer to work late at night, so they might work kind of, 2 in the afternoon to 10 p.m. sort of thing. Others work like 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. So sometimes that makes it easier. It can also make it harder too.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
No problem.